Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, I tell you, friend, in the same breath, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke 19 and 10. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm excited. Debbie and I are excited about the message, about the music, excited about sharing with you from the Word of God once again. You know, one of these days, we'll do our last program. We'll depart this life, or something will happen that would change our direction or our duty in this life, whatever the Lord has planned. But I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to be faithful to Him. We want to keep our charge as we seek to do two things: bring men to Christ and build Christ in men. And look, I'm glad you've tuned in. If you're saved, this message will be a blessing to you. If you're lost, I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Listen, friend, it can change your eternity, not because I'm preaching it, but because of what I'm preaching. I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. As soon as Debbie talks to you about being saved by His grace, I'll be back with the message God has laid on my heart. Enjoy, I know you will.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame, that's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
Well, what good news is that, friend? What great news is that? That's the only way you can be saved. We're saved by grace through faith. It's always been God's way. It's always been God's plan from the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve right down to this very present day when you, sir, when you, ma'am, can, by the grace of God, trust Christ as your Savior. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, right after the book of Ruth, right before the book of 2 Samuel, the Word of God says this, and they, in verse 11, and they, speaking of David now, and his men found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and did eat, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days or 3 nights. And David said to him, He said to him, "Whom belongest thou, and whence art thou?" And he said, now listen to this, folks. He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick." Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This man was in bad, bad shape. He was in bad shape. And he said, look, David said unto him, "Whom belongest thou?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick." It just keeps getting worse, doesn't it? "We made an invasion upon the south of the Carathites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Canst thou bring me to this company?" He said, "Swear unto me, my God, by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." I want to talk to you for a little while out of verse 13. He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick." I want to talk to you today a little while about left for dead. Left for dead. Isn't that a sad situation? Isn't it a sad story that we find here? Now look, there's something amazing about the Word of God. I mean, there are many things actually amazing about the Word of God. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can find pictures of salvation in the Word of God in unlikely places, in unique places, and this is one of them. When David, we find David here and his 600 men, they had come back, listen, they had come back home and they had found the Amalekites, people who were enemies of the nation of Israel, who were type and a picture of the flesh, this world system of Satan himself. And they had come and they had ravaged Ziklag. They had taken David and all of these men's wives and their children. They had burned Ziklag in fire. When David needed to find out from the hand of God, what was he to do? Listen to this, friend. God in His divine providence directs our steps. There are no accidents. There are no coincidences in life. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. David came upon this Egyptian, this young man, this young Egyptian who had been left behind. Now look, I'm going to explain something to you before I get on down into the message. The Bible's full of types or pictures that portray God and His Son and their efforts to bring men into a saving relationship with Him. And here in this passage of Scripture, we've got what I believe to be one of the most beautiful pictures of salvation by grace through faith that we have anywhere in the Word of God. This unnamed Egyptian, this man who was left for dead, he got sick. And listen, and I'll probably say this again, when his master felt like he had got all that he could get out of him, all that was in him, all that would benefit him as a master, he left this young man dead. He was sick. He was dying. He was headed for eternity. And the master thought, well, I can get no more good from him. I'll just leave him behind. This Egyptian represents the sinner. And Egypt represents the world. So he was a part of the world. If he was an Egyptian, that meant that his citizenship, at least his birth, was Egypt. And he was in bad shape. Down in Egypt, Pharaoh ruled. And throughout the Word of God, these types hold true. By the way, Egypt was ruled by Pharaoh, who is a type of Satan. And Satan, listen, friend, is not only God's enemy, but he's the soul of every man's enemy. Oh, and look, it gets worse. This Egyptian from Egypt was a servant of an Amalekite. Well, I'll tell you, begin to run down the history of the Amalekites. They were confessed, evident enemies of the children of Israel, the people of God. They even go back probably as far as Esau, if I'm remembering correctly. But this Amalekite, they were haters of the people of God. They were haters of the souls of men. They were a type of the flesh and of Satan. And then, thank God, I'm about to shout right now, we find David, who was a type or a picture of Christ, a picture of the Savior. Now listen, friend, David here at this instance was just the Savior of one man. But can I tell you, hallelujah, Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. He came to seek and save that which is lost. And the Bible tells us that He died for whosoever will. And I know that there is a resurgence of what's known as hyper-Calvinism. And whether you understand that or not, they teach something that's not true. They're probably sincere. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt their salvation. But can I tell you, sir and ma'am, when Jesus died, He died potentially for every man, woman, boy, or girl that has lived, is living, or ever shall live. And His blood, bless God, can cleanse us all from sin. Potentially, it's only actual and effectual when men deposit their trust and faith in Him. But John said, He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. How but let us go on. Look what the Message tells us here. In verse 11, we find that we find his citizenship. I've already told you he was an Egyptian. I've already explained to you to some degree that being an Egyptian, he is typified or a picture of a sinner. Oh, look, friend, listen. This Egyptian, now watch this, was under the rule and the reign of someone else. He was under the rule and reign of Pharaoh in the beginning of his life. And then it got worse. He came and fell under the rule and the reign of an Amalekite, or of the flesh, or of Satan himself. I want to tell you something, friend. How that puts him in a bad place. Do you hear me? How that puts him under the sentence of death. That puts him under a known condemnation. Oh, look, life was bad for him, don't you know? He had no liberties. He had no freedom. He was the servant of something else. There's a lot of people who say, listen, I'll just do what I want. I'll just fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll go as deep in this sin as I can go. I'm free. I'll take that hit of dope. I'll drink that bottle of liquor. I'll watch another pornographic movie, and they think they're free when all at the same time, I bless God, they're the servant of their lust. They're the servant of whatever they're taking. Hey, do you know that the Chinese said a long time ago something that's profound? They say that a man takes a drink, then a drink takes a drink, and then a drink takes the man. That's the way sin is. Oh, this man, his citizenship, he was a sinner. He was a servant of Satan. He was a servant of the flesh. He was, listen, fallen in his nature. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, that guaranteed he was associated with the wrong crowd. Oh, look, his citizenship, I was against him. But look at his condition in verse 13, how the Bible said that he fell sick. I mean to tell you, he got sick enough to where it looked like he was going to die. He got sick enough to where his master said, hey, I don't need him anymore. I'm not going to waste my time on him. Hey, he's invested in me. He's given me all he's had. He's been my servant. But now that I can get no more out of him, I'm done. I'm telling you, friend, listen, he was sin sick. That's what this is a picture of. I'll tell you, it's a condition of all of Adam's descendants, of all of Adam's race. Listen, and we're all a descendant of Adam. We're a sin by nature. That's what we receive from Adam and our parents. And that's what our children receive from us, is a sin nature. And therefore, we are sinners. Therefore, we sin. We don't become sinners when we sin. We sin because we are sinners. But this boy, this Egyptian, this man, don't know his age. Man, not a bit a boy, but he fell sick. I'll tell you what, friend, listen. No doubt in my mind, when he spoke up with the Amalekite, without a doubt, I figure he thought, well, we're going to have a great time. We're just going to revel in a lot of great things. Can I tell you, sin promises great satisfaction, but its pleasures are only sustaining for moments. Do you hear? I'm telling you, actually sin robs the soul of man. It robs him of his peace, and it robs him of his true purpose. I'll tell you what, sin results in sickness and starvation. That's where this man was. That's where this servant of an Amalekite was. That's where you are, sir, that's serving your sin. I don't care what sin it is. I don't care what its size or shape or color is. That's where you're at. You're hungry. You're starving. That's why you go back to the same old thing. It satisfies for a moment, but in reality it never satisfies. It lies to you. It lies to you like a dog. It promises you fulfillment. It promises you wholeness. It promises you satisfaction. It promises that this is all you'll need and all you'll want. But I'll tell you where it'll leave you. It'll leave you sick. It'll leave you near dead. It'll leave you, bless God, like this Egyptian was left for dead. Oh, what a sad reality that is. It results in sickness and starvation. And look, this Egyptian had nothing to eat for 3 days when David found him. And let me emphasize it again. Why, preacher? How? Because his master abandoned him. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, sin will do you that way. It'll take your health. It'll take your beauty. It'll take your purity. It'll take your innocence. It'll take your youth. It'll take your strength. It'll take your money. It'll take your mind. It'll take your peace. It'll take your family, if you will. And then, you know what it'll do? It'll take your life. It'll leave you to die. It'll leave you by the side of the road in your own blood. It'll leave you by the side of the road in your own vomit. It'll leave you, bless God, in the pits of hell eventually. Hey, friend, listen. Sin will use you up until it can get no more from you. And then it will leave you to die. Just like this Egyptian was left behind by his Amalekite master. Oh, look, friend, that was his condition. Now, would you look at his comforter? Thank God, I'm glad for the comforter, aren't you? In verse 11, we'll find that when this Egyptian was unable to go to David, who was a type of Jesus, who was a type of Christ, who was a type of the Savior, all his men came along and brings him to David. Can I tell you what? That's a picture in my mind of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. He's been sent back into this world after Jesus resurrected, ascended to the Father. He prayed that the Comforter would come, and bless God, he has came. He came to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. He convicts us and convinces us of our sin and that we are a sinner. He convicts us, convinces us that Jesus is the Christ. And oh, hallelujah, what a wonderful thing that is. Can I tell you, friend, listen, the Holy Spirit's constantly doing His work. I want you to know He's constantly seeking the lost. He's constantly drawing us to Christ. And you say, why? Because the Bible said, no man can come unto the Father except the Father which sent me draw him. And oh, He's drawing, is He not? Jesus said in another place, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And Jesus has been lifted up. He is through the cross and the work that He did, and through the Holy Spirit and the work that He does, is drawing men to Christ. Look and listen. I couldn't go to Him. He came to me. So look, we find His comforter. We find someone bringing Him to a Savior. And look at this, another's compassion. It was the compassion that David had. I'm telling you, it was his compassion that revived him, that changed him, that gave him new life. You know what David was? He was unconcerned about how he looked. look. He was unconcerned about how bad his condition was. You know what David was willing to do? He was willing to aid him. He was willing to provide for him. Look, he was willing to give him raisins and cake. Hey, he changed his starvation to a satisfaction. And that's what Jesus can do for you, sir. You, ma'am, today. When the prodigal son over there in the book of Luke returned back home, he returned back to a banquet of love, a banquet of acceptance, a banquet of provision. And so can you today, sir, ma'am. If you'll realize you're a sinner, if you'll look to the Savior, I'll tell you what, He'll give you life. He'll give you abundant life. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you what He needs by giving you Himself. But look at verse 13 again. I want you to know something. There's something about what this Egyptian had to do. I want you to notice his confession. Oh, look, he told David exactly what's what. Told him what he was. Told him he was an Egyptian. Told him he was a servant of the Amalekite. I mean to tell you, listen, he was honest could be. Can I tell you what? When you're left for dead, you need to get honest. Oh, look, sir, ma'am, you're facing an eternity. And without Christ, it'll be a Christless eternity. And if it's a Christless eternity, it'll be an eternity in outer darkness, separated from God, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But his confession, it was honest. It was exactly what it needed to be. And can I tell you, that's all sinners need to be. That's honest about who they are. Honest about what they are. Honest about what they need. And that's the Savior. Honest with the fact they're dying. Honest with the fact that they've been deserted. Honest with the fact that they're destitute. Honest with the reality that they're unable to change their condition. And oh, when you confess your sin, you forsake your sin. He's faithful and just. He's willing and able to forgive you of all sin. How about let me give you one more thing. In verse 15, you know what this Egyptian wanted? You know what this Egyptian wanted? He wanted his confidence. I mean to tell you, he wanted to know the assurance, thank God, of what David said he would do. He wanted to make sure that when he gave David the intel that he gave him, the word that he was about to speak about where David's enemy was, that David wouldn't kill him, that what he had promised him was good, that it would endure, that it was okay. Do you know what? There's too few people sometimes, I'm afraid, that I meet that lack the assurance of their salvation. Hey, they've not either believed what God has said or not understood the Word of God. But I'll tell you this, if you read the book of Romans, start in chapter 8, verse 1, and especially pay attention to the beginning of that chapter, where God promises, there is therefore now. Notice that word. Underline that word. Circle that word. Ingest. Digest that word. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And then read on down in the latter part of that chapter, the last 4, 5, 6 verses, where it says, listen, that there is a promise from God that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Doesn't matter what it is, what you'll be confronted with, what you'll face. Listen, this Egyptian said, now look, I've made my confession. I want to tell you where the enemy's at, but I need something from you. I need that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, so I can have that foretaste of glory divine. Hey, look, friend, listen, he wanted the word of another. Do you know what? That's important, especially when it's in the Word of Christ, when God, who cannot lie, promised before the world was framed that we, if we trust Christ, could have eternal life, according to the book of Titus. You know what? He could give this Egyptian, could give David no joyous service. He could provide nothing but the peace and contentment until he was certain of his deliverance, certain that it was permanent, certain that he'd be delivered from his old self, from his old set of circumstances, from his old life. I'm telling you something, friend. Jesus said it himself. He whom the Son set free shall be free indeed. Now listen, won't you admit that you're a sinner today? Won't you admit that you've been way too long now a servant of sin? Look, I may be talking to people that's just recently lost all but everything they've had. You even want to lose your life. You might be sitting there with a gun in your hand with a hangover and you think, man, I'm more empty this morning than I was last night when I went to bed. Can I tell you there's hope? There's help. There's a man to the name of Jesus who died for your sin, who was buried and on the third morning rose from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's sitting there available. He will make intercession for you and I. And if you'll go to Him right now, He won't cast you out. Go to Him and confess your sin. Just tell Him you need a Savior. Tell Him you're empty. Tell Him you're hungry. Tell Him you're starving. Tell Him where you've been. Tell Him what you need. And oh, listen, the Savior, the one who's not David, but the one who David pictured, will change your life, give you eternal life and abundance. Do it now, would you please?
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Your foundation stands upon